University of Louisville BCM. How many of you are familiar with BCMs? And so some of you were part of maybe BCMs when you were in college here in Kentucky or elsewhere. But I help oversee the ministry, the student organization that takes place on that campus. But also part of my role and responsibility is I cover a region that comes down to Elizabethtown, over to Bardstown, up to Oldham Trimble County, and then back down to Louisville. So kind of that triangle. And working with youth pastors, young adult pastors, singles pastors, senior pastors, anybody that is interested in engaging the next generation, which we would consider those who would be basically sixth grade and up.
That's kind of what we do.
And so when I was asked by Nate to be a part of this associational gathering, one of the things he mentioned is he said, we'd love to hear some of the things that are going on or ways people can connect or just to understand the youth of today better, our next generation. And he also mentioned, well, is there a church that is doing something outside the box, doing something different, willing to engage in a new way that, that can be encouraging and also challenging to the churches there to maybe consider something like it, if not exactly that, the idea behind it. And I said, I do know someone. And so I'm actually going to turn over the microphone here in the teaching time and to Philip Brown. Philip Brown is the college singles, basically young adult pastor at 9th and O Baptist Church, just a little piece north of here in Louisville. And so I've become good friends with him over the last few years as he's been investing in the University of Louisville some. He also has tons of connections in the area, reaching singles and college students. And so I'm honored to have him come and share a little bit about a strategy that they're adopting, why they're doing it, and to kind of maybe see how that could play out in your world, whether that's reaching youth or maybe even young adults in the area. So I'll turn over the microphone to Philip, and if it's cool, I'll pray really quick for us, and then we'll jump in. So Father God, we are thankful to be here this morning, and we recognize the task that's before us. We know that majority of the people that are around us, even those that drive by this church facility this morning, are not connected to anything of you. They may know about you, they may even know other believers, but they do not have a relationship with Christ. He is not their Lord, he is not their Savior. And so we also recognize that with the young generation of folks coming up, there's a desperate need, as we see it in the world around us. The things that we see on the news, from the conversations that happen just in our own community, and frankly, for many of us, it's in our own households. We recognize that there's a generation that is lost and is desperately seeking for something to give them hope, to give them a new life, and to give them abundant life. And we know that's Christ. Help us to learn how to communicate, to share, to engage those that are in a younger place in life, that we are able to point them to the hope, the truth, and just to help us to be better missionaries in our own communities. We thank you for your love for us, for the cross, and for the reality that without you, we have no hope. But because of you, we have all hope. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, John. I'm going to get rid of this humongous podium here. Okay, I think that's going to work. I don't know the last time I've spoken to a mic and had to stay still, so this may not work. As soon as the AC or heat goes off, I'm going to probably be roaming around. Again, my name is Philip Brown. I am from the wonderful state of Tennessee. Sorry about this year, you Kentucky fans. I am from Tennessee. My dad was a pastor in a little town called Ducktown, Tennessee, population 555. We have a little ticker that ticks off when we lose somebody or we gain somebody. And you think I'm kidding. I'm from a very small town. I grew up in the Appalachian Mountains, basically, in a copper mining area that shut down. And my dad saw his church tank from about 300 to about 50 in about 8 years. That's what I grew up experiencing. And my dad had a heart for evangelism. He had a heart for people, and he had a heart for the Word of God. And that's what I learned from him. At the same time, I'm a typical teenager, and I did my own rebellious thing, and I went off to college. But ministry to college students, where I was at UT Martin in West Tennessee, was a huge impact on my life. The BCM was a huge impact on my life and where I found friends. So that's my experience. And then I came up here, met my wife, and I have two kids, a 9-year-old and a 5-year-old. And been up there since 2002 in Louisville, and on staff since 2005. So that's my story. I want to get a little bit about you to kind of know who I'm talking to, because I am relational when I talk. How many senior pastors do we have in this room? We get a couple of senior pastors. If you are not a senior pastor, but just an associate pastor of some sort, raise your hand. Okay. If you are just, I guess the rest of you are laymen, would that be it? Okay. This is really good, because this is going to be very helpful for your pastors when you get back to your church. So take good notes. Think outside the box with me this morning, okay? Because this is something that's truly on our heart that we've been doing, and we're at the beginning stages of this. But I want to first, we got to have a groundwork from what we're talking about, right? So who are we actually talking about this morning? We're going to answer three questions. Who are we really talking about? What does the Bible say about them? And what are we going to do about it? Okay? Who are we talking about? I work with singles and college students, but what I've realized over the last few years, including what the KBC's initiative with the 12-24 window, if you don't know what that is, from the ages of 12 to 24, there's this window that we're trying to reach. And they realized you can't train freshman students all of a sudden to go and evangelize their campuses that easy. It's got to start when they're younger. It's got to start in your church. And what we've done is we've done poor in that area, thinking, hey, we're just going to train all these college students to reach Jesus. And there's a little bit of that that works. But it's really up to the church to raise up evangelists in their churches. And so, me and John work with college students, we realize that we're also working with our teenagers as well. And that's something that we'll talk about in just a minute and what we're trying to do at 9th and O. So this is the dynamic. We're talking about youth, college, and singles, adults, single adults. And I just want to give you an idea of who's, and you're going to amen to this because you realize it's there. I'm just going to put it in just a succinct form here for a second, okay? College students are no longer 18 to 22-year-olds. You got it? College students are 18 to whatever you want to be, okay? There's online versions of every campus out there. There's people commuting back and forth. College ministry is just a whole new world. And so it's not what it was when I was in college 20 years ago. It's a totally different thing today. People are staying in college. They're getting their master's. They're not just finishing up. Now the new thing is they have to have a master's to get a good job, right? And now the new thing coming on is vocational schools. So these smaller communities that have these vocational schools, you're going to have a mass amount of people staying in either home or even coming from other cities and towns and coming to your town in order to learn their vocation for the future. So that's the new thing coming. So things are changing. This is something I deal with on a regular basis as far as singles ministry. Think about this. Extended adolescence. If you know Eric Erickson, the sociologist, he talks about eight stages of life. And those eight stages of life are broke down between being a baby all the way to being a senior adult and all in between. And what we're learning is there's five milestones for adulthood, from being adolescent to being an adult. And what's happening is when we say extended adolescence, those five milestones are just not being met until 25, 26, 27, 28, and even into the 30s. What do you think some of those milestones are to becoming from adolescent to an adult?
Moving out.
Okay, moving out. That's one of them.
Turn 16, get your driver.
You ready? 90% of my college students this year do not have a car.
Yeah, I know it's... But
it's huge.
Is that depending on where it's more of an urban or a suburban thing?
No.
Really?
Blowing my mind. I thought it was. But this year it's affirmed it's not.
Wow.
They're all driving together. When I get one, I get five students. And I'm asking the people who live, people live in Mount Washington, different places like that, do you have a car? Nope. I'm like, do you want to have a car? Maybe. Blows my mind. Okay. It may be different in your community. I grew up, I wanted my license when I was 15. So it's a different group of people and how we reach them. Anything else? One of the things is becoming financially independent. If you notice, Many of our students can't do that because they're paying unbelievable tuition costs. They're buying things that don't have it and they don't want to work. Okay? The new generation struggles to find work and be consistent at that work and stay there for a long time. They're very temporary in their jobs that they get. They're happy to work for $8 an hour just to hang out with their friends, and when things get hard, they jump jobs. That's just another dynamic that we've got going on right now with our young people. So that's the dynamic, just kind of giving you a picture of what that is. I don't have much time to spend on that. This is the, I don't know if y'all can see this, but this is the, marriage is one of those milestones. And marriage is being, is bumped up in the last 20 years in an amazing rate of age of when somebody gets married. So this is a graph from 2017. I just downloaded this. This is, I've been using some 2010 census stuff, but this is a census questionnaire from 2017. This is women's marital status. You notice the percentage of people getting married is dropping. That's that top line. Never married is the red line. That is increasing. And notice divorce and widowed is staying the same. Okay? That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about this younger generation. They're deciding not to get married, and they're waiting a long time. Okay, men's marital status is about the same. Men want to get married, but they want to get married later as well. And this is the one that blows your mind. You ready? Median age of first marriage. If you don't see those numbers on the right, that's the 30 age and 28. So the median age for a man would be about 29 years old, and for a woman, 27. Compared to when you were maybe at that age, we're looking at, and even in the 90s, we're looking at 24 and 26. We go back into the 80s, where it's in the younger 20s. So that's the dynamic that we have. Here's the question. If it's getting close to 50% of our people that are in your community are going to be single, Louisville, Kentucky is now 50% single. 50%. And as this grows, what are we doing as a church to reach this community? Because we're reaching college students, because college students are single. But what are we doing? And they're not quote-unquote adults as defined by Erickson. They still haven't disconnected from their family. They're still getting financial support. They may still be living at home in the basement. All those kind of dynamics. What are we doing to reach them? How are we making those connections? So what does the Bible say about them? That's the key question, right? I'm not going to blow your mind with Bible verses, because these Bible verses, once I put them out there, you go, oh, yeah, I've heard that before. They are not to be looked down upon. 1 Timothy 4:12, do not let them look down upon their youth. Guess what? The youth of today is in their 20s. All right? They're still adolescent and defined by Erickson, so we need to be careful not to look down upon them. When we think about college students, I want you to think about something for me. We just went through a study through Zacchaeus at our church and how Zacchaeus was ostracized for who he was. And I want to know whether the college students and the typical 18-year-old in your town is viewed. Yeah. One thing I learned about 10 years ago is most college students get a get-out-of-jail-free card from our church. And what I mean by that? What I mean by that is that we say, well, you don't really need to serve right now. You're kind of doing college. You don't need to really come to church. We understand if you don't come every week because you're in college. We understand kind of what you're going to. You have to work hard. You're in college. And we've given them a get-out-of-jail-free card, and we've lost that generation. And we're going to talk about what we're trying to do at our 9th and O in just a minute. So we need to be careful not to look down upon them, just like the Levites and the tax collectors will look down upon many times. I doubt that many of you in this room are meeting and hanging out with college students on a regular basis. But as we see, singles and college students are going to be at some point, if things don't change, half of the people you could reach. Okay? They need to be mentored. 100% of my singles and college students desire to have a relationship with somebody else that mentors them. Here's what's crazy. They're going to tell you, I don't need you, but it's just like a teenager. A teenager's going to tell you that every time. Hey, man, do you want to go eat with me? No, I don't want to go eat with you, Dad. Why would I want to go eat with you? Well, we're going tomorrow. You've got to do that with our college and singles. You've got to say, not, do you want to meet with me? Hey, I'm going to take you out to eat tomorrow. Do what Jesus did when he did it with Zacchaeus. He says, I'm coming to your house today. We got to do that. We got to do just like Jesus did with Zacchaeus. The college students need that. They need to know that you care enough not to even ask, but to just do it. They need that a lot. They need mentoring. They need real life application. I guarantee you, any of them will meet with you if you were to sit down and just talk real life with them. They're dying for this. 100% of my college and singles. I hear that conversation. Hey, Mr. Phillip, could you meet with me on a weekly basis? And I have to, what I'm trying to do now is train others to do what I do. Because I'm overwhelmed with people that want to meet with me and my wife. And so the church needs more of that. And it's going to take y'all taking the initiative now. They need to serve. Romans 12, 1 through 8. You get through the first two verses in every youth retreat, right? Being transformed, not being conformed to this world. But you know what the next six verses talk about? What you're supposed to do in the church. And so it describes those spiritual gifts and those uses. Let me ask you this. What age can a person in your church start serving? What age is the youngest person?
I'd say whenever they're saved. They join the church.
Amen.
They go to work.
Praise the Lord.
They can go out and witness.
Praise the Lord.
They're an adult. We need to teach them.
That's right.
From the beginning.
That's exactly right.
Sharing their faith.
That's exactly right.
Not to hide behind under a bushel.
That's exactly right.
My daughter helps hold the door at the church. She's four. She was 4 years old.
Yeah.
It was the first time that we did that together.
Yeah.
She helped hold the door. Her spiritual gift was doorstop.
Hey, I grew up in Nice No.
Amen.
Visiting.
Amen. I know a lot of stories about those visitations and different people that came to know the Lord through that. Here's the thing. It's not just taking up the offering on Sunday night in a pair of blue jeans that we give our teenagers the responsibility for. It's teaching them how to go share the gospel. They need to learn how to do that. It's not going
to
just be just... We've got to do some work, and we've got to create something there. Yeah. So we need to think about, first of all, identifying our new believers, finding out what their spiritual gift is, and then letting them learn and try that out. We're not doing this with... My daughter got saved when she was 7. She's now leading worship for the kids' worship at 9 years old with 100 kids. There's two girls and a guy that are all under fifth grade, and they're leading the worship time and the children's worship. Praise God for that. We need more of that. That's an example, and that's a great example. It didn't happen across all night to know, but one of the things I'm pressing for is like, what are we doing with our youth? What about this senior guy? Why is he not on the missions team? The senior who's graduating, who's a sharp kid, who has a calling, he has a love for missions. He's been on 3 mission trips in the last 2 years. Is he on the missions team? What about this junior girl who's solid, she loves helping, she's always serving behind the scenes? Why is she not just serving behind the scenes? Why is she not actually on the hospitality team at 9th and O? Where are we giving them responsibility inside the church at a younger age so that when they leave the church, they realize they're not just, here's the church and I'm over here? No, they realize they are the church. That's the connection we got to make. We got to let these young people know that they are the church. It's amazing when you let them be the church, how much they will fight for the church. And they realize that. So, let them be a part of the church. Let them serve in those ways. I think this is one of the, by the way, this is one of the key components that makes Knight to Know, and the guys can tell you, that makes Knight to Know our singles and college ministry work, is letting them serve in major capacities. By the way, our single adults that we have, most of them in their 20s and early 30s, we have people serving in all the major committees. We have them serving as deacons. We have them serving as the finance committee. We have them serving on all these different committees. And one of my goals is to have them in every part of the church serving in some kind of way. Teaching all the children's ministries, teaching in all the preschool, teaching in the youth ministry. It's got to be something we're allowing them to be served and grow. What are we going to do about it? This is something from Christianity Today. There's a couple of components here that you can't see, but I'm going to work those through here real quick in a few minutes. I want to first say that pastor sets the example. Senior pastors in here and leaders, I'm so glad that Dr. Bill Cook sets the example for how we reach out to our singles and college students. And you know this, as people, if you're laymen in the church, you know that the pastor does set the example. But I want to challenge the pastors to do this. Prioritize meeting with students. Also, initiate with them. You've got to take the initiative that I just said a minute ago. More than likely, they're not going to. Those who are on the edge, on the fringe, they need you to initiate with them. And finally, use them. But that pastor sets that example. Question is, when did you last think about a college person while you're preparing your sermon illustration? When's the last time you heard a sermon that illustrated an example or a question to the college or the young adults in the congregation? We do a good job of talking about the families in the church. We do a good job talking about the youth in the church. But sometimes that gap, which is not a gap anymore, by the way, that's a lot of people in your community. When a single person or a college student comes to your church, do they feel like that sermon fits their life? That's a good question to ask. All right? Meet with them. Meet with them for coffee or take them out to eat on the church budget. I'm glad I've got laymen in here. Laymen, this is something my church did about 8 years ago. They came to me one time complaining about how much money I was spending at the coffee shop and the local dining places around Louisville, which is 1,000 of them, right? So they said, why are you going to this pizza place? Why are you going to this coffee shop? And I said, you know what? It's about relationships, and that's where the students are. That's where they want to be. And I'm going to keep doing this. And I've set the budget for it, and that's what we're going to use it for. And so I spend a majority of my time reaching out. And what's crazy is I'm not just meeting with students. Guess what I'm doing? I'm engaging the culture while I'm there. I've got opportunities to share the gospel where other singles and college students are. They're foodies of that age. They have the freedom. They don't want to stay at home. They want to get out and go get a bite to eat somewhere. They want to go get coffee, go get on their laptop or whatever they're going to do. They're wanting to get out, and that's where they're going to go. In smaller communities, a lot of them will drive on the weekends just to have this. Just to have this atmosphere. It's no time. How many people I've met, I'll be honest with you, from this area, at the Hyatt Brothers, after they go out to eat somewhere, they come back and get coffee. They're there on the weekends. And so trying to find out how you reach out to them and initiate with them is going to be huge. Compensate the pastor for meals, coffees with singles. Offer to reimburse church members for the investment they make. Pastors in here, be willing to say, hey, could you go meet with so-and-so and just make sure you bring the receipt back to me and I'll take care of it. Be willing to do that. That's how we're going to have to do those kind of things. Challenge them. Let them serve in capacities in the church beyond taking up the offering. I did not serve in my church except on Sunday nights throughout my high school experience. I took up the offering, and that was my role at the church. There's the need to raise that bar. I was given the opportunity in college to teach 8th grade boys, and that's where God called me to ministry. Those are those kind of things we need to allow our younger generation work, sit beside them, work and challenge them in order to grow in those areas. Single them out. You got to be mom and dad to them. You got to call them out when it needs to be, but you have to have a relationship with that. You have to build that relationship, take them out to eat and do that as well, so that you can single them out when you need to. Rebuke them and set the bar just high like you do for a married person in your church with 4 kids. I found this to be the biggest thing that pulls them back and back and back. Don't give them the get out of jail free card. Guess what? They have more time. Sometimes they have better ideas, and yet we're letting them sit on the back pew and come 15 minutes late for church and leave for 15 minutes early. Challenge them, use them in a great way. Don't give them that get out of jail free card. Don't let them off the hook. Challenge them. We already talked about that. Don't try to get them married off or go to college. You want to push away singles and college students from your church? You can do this. You try to get them married off, or make them go off to college, ultimately, that's their ultimate fulfillment life. Ladies and gentlemen, we know in the church that is not their ultimate fulfillment life. By the way, Jesus did not go to college, and Jesus did not get married. All right? So, I'd encourage you to be careful with that. Protect them from the matchmakers in your church. One thing I don't do in our singles ministry, and they can tell you, I do not play that game. My goal is to mentor them in relationships. If they want to ask me about a relationship, I'll be glad to tell them. But I do not initiate with that. I protect them from those people too. And they'll tell you, I do everything I can to protect them from people trying to hook them up with somebody else. Don't think they have to be married to be ultimately fulfilled. On the other side, don't make them go to college and don't make them think that they have to get everything together in order to get married. As we extend our education over the years and getting older and older, there's going to be struggles that we all know exist in society already and in the church. What do you think it's like for a 28-year-old guy who's still in college or his master's degree, and he's been told he's got to finish that, his mind, his culture has told him, I've got to finish this before I even think about dating somebody, seriously. How many struggles do you think he's having as a 28-year-old in his thought life? So we got to think about how that wave, what's the most important thing in his life? So if a woman comes in his life, she's an awesome godly woman at 23 years old and he's still working on his master's, are we going to push him away? Hey, don't get married yet. Be careful. There's just a balance there, okay? We're not trying to push him to end marriage. At the same time, we're not trying to keep him from being married so they have to complete everything. All right? Here's what they need at the bottom. They need encouragement. They need to be taught about faithfulness. And finally, they need to be challenged to be committed to something. The new mosaics, there's a bunch of different definitions to the Generation Z mosaics. They're still trying to define who this next generation is going to be called, or what they're going to be called. Their number one thing that they struggle with is commitment to one thing and sticking with it. So challenge them to stick with the church. Challenge them to stick. Why is that important? Why is it important to do those kind of things? They're going to really struggle with that. They're picking. What they're going to do is they're going to pick little things from every different place they can possibly do. Get the best out of this church. They're going to get the best out of this school. They're going to get the best out of this job. And then they're going to say, well, I've got this portion of it, and the rest of it I don't care about. That's kind of that generation. That's why they're called the mosaics. They create this mosaic because they pick what they want to and make their own picture of life that they want. The reason they don't like the church as a whole, there's things they don't like about it, so they've decided, I like the college ministry, so I'm going to go to the college ministry, but I'm not coming on Sunday mornings, or I'm not going to come to anything else the church does. I like the BCM, I'm not going to go to anything else they do. I like the Wednesday meal, but I'm not going to do anything else. They're not committed to those things. They're not owning those things. They're not building their part of their lives as a whole around larger things. They just want to pick and piece what they want out of life. So, Cross, Kentucky. Finally, I built that foundation for what we're getting ready to do. This is our new stuff. So, about 2-3 months ago, in my office this is Andrew Cross. I don't know that Andrew was on staff at Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee for a while. He's one of our interns while he's at Southern Seminary. And we were sitting there talking about how we're reaching out to college students and what we're going to do. And our struggle was to try to build that foundation for freshmen at U of L's campus. How are we reaching freshmen? And I was like, getting on campus and trying to go Either you can't get in the dorms unless you're part of an organization. U of L's still kind of a suitcase college where a lot of them go home. I got U of L students that go to our church, grew up at our church, but how am I reaching the ones from Colorado? How am I reaching the ones from Bowling Green that are coming here and living on campus? How are we reaching them? And we can go like we do. We go and do the freshman orientation weeks during the summer. We can go to the BCM and do things. But we're not having a lot of return for the efforts that we're putting in there. We might get a salvation every 3 or 4 years. We might get a student about every 3 or 4. What about the rest of the students? So we decided, you know what? If I was a parent, I would want to bring my child and introduce him to the school, but I'm going to also go around and I'm going to introduce him, go find this most solid church I can possibly find in that community for my student who's going to go there. And I said, we got to help parents do that. So this Tuesday and Wednesday, we're starting that process. We have 3 seniors we're taking to 3 different colleges and introducing them to the strong churches that are in their college campus area. So we're taking 3 guys who have 3 different scholarships in sports, the 3 different schools, one at the University of Cumberland, one at Campbellsville, and one at Lindsey Wilson. And I'm going to hit that on Tuesday and Wednesday. We're taking them to individual churches to introduce them to the solid churches down there so that they know a face and a name and a person before they ever get there. That's key. Well, we started with that. Well, that's a great idea. You know what? We also realized while we're down there, guess what we're doing? We're finding out who the seniors are that are coming up to Louisville or to Boyce College or wherever college they're coming up to Louisville. And we're going to meet those seniors and build those relationships with them so that they know us before they ever get on campus. What I'm trying to build is a foundation of, this is our goal, 5 students who were sold out for Christ by the start of the fall semester that are going to be freshmen living on campus at U of L. I'm trying to find 5 students who are willing to evangelize and have our strong students before they ever get to Louisville. We're reaching out across Kentucky. We've got one going to Bowling Green, a trip end of April. We're going to Bowling Green. We're still planning on the trip that we're going to do out in Western Kentucky. That's one of the things we realize. We've got to make connections before they ever get on campus. Because you know what it's like when they get on campus, right? They get on campus and everything else in their world disappears. So we're trying to reach them, make connections with them before they ever get on our campus and do the same thing for our students because we fear the same thing that their parents are fearing about them coming to Louisville. I'm worried about Keller. I'm worried about Brandon and Brandon as they go on these campuses. And I want to know what that strong church is and where they're going to be attending. Where's that person, not just a church, but that individual they're going to make a connection with before they ever get on that campus in the fall. So that's our thing. We're calling it Cross Kentucky. We're at the beginning stages of this. If you've got students you know are going to be moving to Louisville, living in Louisville, that may not be a case. You may be 15 minutes from here and maybe a 30, 45 minute drive. You know seniors that are going to live on U of L's campus. I want to meet you or my students. Some of my interns are going to talk to you and be here later to talk to you about that and what we're doing at 9th and O with our college ministry. But at the same time, when I have people move here to Shepherdsville and move close, we want people to be part of the community. And so one of our goals is it's not just in the college ministry. We want people to build a relationship with churches that they're before they ever get in that community. Wouldn't it be awesome if you decided to buy a house related to the church that you're going to join before you ever got there? That's what we're doing with college students. We're trying to make sure they're going to schools and picking those schools because of the people they know there in the churches instead of the scholarships that they're going to receive. That's the big picture. Are we challenging these students just like we would challenge our 20-somethings or 30-somethings who are married with 4 kids when they pick a church or they find a new home? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these people in this room, Lord. We know that in the big picture of the church, we have a gap of people that we have not been really reaching. We've been really struggling trying to catch up with the culture in many ways. And Lord, I just pray, God, that this will be a thing that helps all of us in this room as we've discussed it, and even discussions after that will help us to learn how to reach this generation. I pray, God, that you would be with the pastors, for the laymen. I pray that their heart would be for these young people. And I pray, God, that you give them a heart to reach them for the gospel and disciple them and minister their lives. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If you would, give him a hand. Just. I'll do this really quick here. This will be a good time to do this. If you want something to snack on or drink, feel free to come up and do that whenever. Does anybody have any questions that they want to ask to Philip right now? I know that he is getting ready to go teach at another place. He's actually going to be doing three circles at his church, which is, many of you are familiar with three circles. But any questions that you have for him really quickly before he has to jet to the next thing? Anything that you would have any questions about what he shared? Some of that, like, was information you're like, yeah, I know that. Some of it's kind of like, I didn't really realize that type of thing. So,
can I talk to him personally?
Sure, yeah, that'd be good.
You guys should check his tree a little bit. Get some leaves off of it.
Very nice. All right, well, I'll go ahead and get started, and we'll just move on. So let me get set up with my PowerPoint.
I lost all my hearing. I'm going to get it. Did you know about that?